Blog Talk Radio.
Find out life's a game of inches. So is football. Because in either game, life or football, the margin for error is so small. I mean, one half a step too late or too early, and you don't quite make it. One half second too slow, too fast, you don't quite catch it. The inches we need are everywhere around us.
Hell yeah.
They're in every break of the game. Every minute, every second. On this team, we fight for that inch. On this team, we tear ourselves and everyone else around us to pieces for that inch.
Alrighty.
Yes, indeed. There we go. Thank you very much. Fred Hausmann coming to you here on another Red Zone Blitz program right here on the Fred House Sports Radio Network. There was a lot of I was hearing myself echoing all over the place there. So hopefully we got that one worked out. But right here. Red Zone Blitz, our 13th of these this season. And we're coming to you here with just 3 weeks remaining in the NFL season. And let me do this right now. I want to get this out of the way right from the start, because if there's anybody out there listening, let me tell you right now, you can bet, here's what we're going to touch on. And if you hear a team in here, here's what I want. If you are a fan of any of the teams that I mentioned here, what I want you to do is I need you to get on the phone with us right now at 347-826-9964, and then you'll be in line to jump in and give your comments as well. But you can bet we're going to touch on the Carolina Panthers, the New Orleans Saints, Baltimore Ravens, Miami Dolphins, Seattle Seahawks, Philadelphia Eagles, Green Bay Packers, Atlanta Falcons, Oakland Raiders, San Francisco 49ers, the Steelers, the Redskins, the Cardinals, the Colts, the Cleveland Browns. Just a handful of the teams that we'll be talking about here in the next hour or so. Did you hear your team's name mentioned? If you did, here's what you got to do. You got to call 347-826-9964. 9964, that puts you right through to us here, and I'll get you on the air when we bring up, when I see your name come up. Or if you're a Skype capable, hit the Skype button if you're listening in on a computer. Or we have the chat room open at this point. I got Brandon joining me right now. Brandon, how are we doing tonight?
Good. How are you doing? Ready for some football talk?
Absolutely. With just 3 weeks left remaining in this season. You have said it so many times before that these 3 weeks, plus the first 3 weeks of the playoffs, are without a doubt some of the best football that we're going to see all season long, probably the most compelling, the most exciting for sure. And what's nice about it is it all seems to fall in at the holiday time of year as well, all giving us a little extra bit of Christmas cheer, I guess. Real quick comment I just want to make here, too, for folks out there that are perhaps contemplating giving us a call on that call-in number. A little comment that I heard this afternoon on one of the numerous programs that I listen to during the daytime. Excuse me, and I listen to talk radio just about nonstop during the week, and then I close my day at the end of the day, believe it or not, I top it off with even a little bit more ESPN at nighttime. But comment made today, and Brandon, I'll get your comment on it as well. But a comment I heard, and not that I want to spend a lot of time on, I just thought we'd use it as an opener. Comment I heard made today by one of the ESPN talking head analysts made the observation, and I want to get reaction on it, that they don't remember a time recently where it seems that there were so many bad teams in the NFL. And if you take a look at the standings as they are right now, I'm not sure whether they're right or they're wrong, but we have 11 teams that fit into the category, that category. If we look at records only, there are 11 out of 30, what is it, 32 teams that have a record of 5-8 or less. Quick reaction on that, Brandon. What's your thought?
Well, I mean, they've always, you know, called for parity because there used to be so many teams that used to be higher, you know, on the totem pole. And I think if you look at it division by division, you can see it better than others. I'm not saying there's not bad divisions out there. I mean, the NFC South is clearly a bad division. I don't think the AFC South, short of the Colts, is all that strong. And I don't think the Colts are proven to be that strong either. But then on the flip side, you got, you know, the AFC North, where you have all the teams above 500, and, you know, I think personally right now you're going to have two wild card teams coming out of that division just because of the way it looks like things are going to unfold, unless the Chargers can somehow miraculously figure out a way to beat Peyton and the Broncos this week. You know, it's kind of looking more like, you know, we're going to end up with three AFC North teams. So I think it kind of goes across the board. I mean, the AFC East has, you know, the Jets at the bottom and the, you know, the Patriots at the top, but the two in the middle are, you know, they're average teams. I think you just, you know, they didn't like when you had, you know, three or four really dominant teams, which is kind of what we have anyway. But the NFL wanted to have more parity across the league, where there'd be more teams having a chance, you know, to get the playoffs this late in the year. And I don't know that it worked out quite that way this year, but, you know, it has for the most part. You know, I think this year may be a bit of an aberration.
I might agree with you, but just an observation to kind of go along with the analysts there for a moment. Just an observation. I, for one, still consider and have considered, despite the fact the Super Bowl might tell us differently, because, of course, last year we had an NFC team win, and what, 2 years before that we had an NFC team win. But I have considered the AFC to be the stronger conference for probably, to me, at least the last four, maybe five seasons. That is, overall, as a conference, I consider the AFC to be stronger. And I do this year as well. And yet, when you take a look at the conferences, you have four teams in the AFC right now that are 2-11, whereas over in the NFC, you only have one team that's 2-11, and yet, as you point out, you've got that AFC North, which is just stacked with teams all with a winning record, going from 8-4-1 to down to 7-6. So you got virtually no wiggle room in there whatsoever. So it's an interesting kind of dichotomy that, and again, I'll just throw it out there. You know, I for one consider the AFC the stronger of the two conferences. And yet
I would disagree. I think this year your best two teams are in the NFC. I think the Packers and the Seahawks right now are playing the best football overall. I think they're the best two. I mean, the Patriots are probably a close three, but the Patriots lost to Green Bay. And I think if they had to play Seattle and Seattle, they'd lose too. Now, granted, I think if it was the other way around and they were playing these games in New England, you'd probably see New England win too. So I think you have three teams right now. I mean, and by record, you would say Broncos, because their record's the same as the Patriots, but they don't pass the eye test right now. I'm sorry, they just look, I don't know, they look, something's out of sorts with them. I don't know, you know, what it is. Maybe we'll be talking about that during this show a little. I don't know if they're going to come up. I don't really see the Broncos on the list this week, so maybe we're not going to talk about them. But nonetheless, I do think the Broncos, you know, they need to be mentioned. They're going to probably be the number two seed in the AFC still.
Well, now, that's interesting. On a neutral surface, what do you think the line would be if it were the Green Bay Packers and the New England Patriots, or the Green Bay Packers and the Denver Broncos? Do you think Green Bay would be favored?
Yes.
Really?
Absolutely. I think they'd be at least three against the Patriots, probably five or six against the Broncos, especially the way the Broncos are playing right now. Unless they, you know, can muster a passing game, you know, before the end of the season. I mean, right now they're C.J. Anderson. That's the Broncos right now. So, you know, they need They need to fix that. Now, they will. They're going to get healthier. Julius Thomas will be back. And I don't think Emmanuel Sanders is quite right from his concussion just yet. But, you know, a couple more weeks, I think they'll be all – they might hit it just right and be firing on all cylinders going into the playoffs.
Well, all right, folks. Well, there you have it. There's a topic for you. And we want to hear from you, 347-826-9964. Jump in, please. And let me know what you think about that. We're talking about, you know, or at least we started out here talking about what's the stronger conference, the AFC, the NFC. You know, where is it going to go? Green Bay, what if it were a Green Bay-Denver Broncos Super Bowl or a Green Bay-New England Patriots Super Bowl? Who would be favored in something like that?
I think we've seen that before somehow. I don't know. I kind of think back. I vaguely remember guys like Bledsoe and Favre playing somewhere,
yes.
Maybe down under in the Big Easy in New Orleans. Not down under,
mm-hmm.
But
yep.
I kind of vaguely remember that game. I don't think I like the outcome, so I tend to block it out of my mind.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's go over and take a look at some games from this past weekend. Because we certainly had quite a few of them that got on our radar. A lot of them got on our radar. Let's start it off real quick here. And some of these, Brandon, because I do have an overloaded list. So some of these we might just kind of touch on and gloss over a little bit. Others we might spend a little more time.
This first one looks like a quickie.
Yeah, I have right exactly. So you got my – all right, you're picking up my sense of it. The only reason I'm bringing up the Carolina Panthers and the New Orleans Saints, Carolina Panthers won that game 41-10, is because my question is, obviously, at this point. Well, no, I guess maybe not obviously, though. Because, again, here we go. This is the NFC South, where the New Orleans Saints, despite that absolutely dreadful performance, are still tied for first place in that division. And somebody's got to go to the playoffs from that division. But New Orleans, absolutely horrible in this, Brandon. And
I'm
again,
shock.
You know,
I think the winner's not in this, not in these two teams. I think Atlanta Falcons win this division now. After what they did last night against Green Bay.
I might agree with you.
What they proved to me, at least, is they held their own better than anybody did with the Packers so far, going head-to-head, you know, toe-to-toe, putting up points. They didn't look, you know, like I said, they didn't look like world beaters. We're going to talk more about that game later, but I think mm-hmm. that team comes out of the South. I just think that's the way you're going to see it. They all have to play each other a couple times yet. Don't forget about the way the NFL backloaded the schedule this year. You know, I don't know. You know, this particular week, I believe the Buccaneers are playing the Panthers, so they're both in the South. But I believe Atlanta and the Saints still have another go-round. And if they do, that's going to probably end up being your deciding game. And I think Atlanta comes out on top. That's just my gut.
You know, we've talked about the – and we brought it up here again the other day right here at Frat House Sports. All of us did in just some brief conversation. You know, we sat and we watched this game a little bit, this Carolina Panthers and Saints game, excuse me, a little bit on Sunday. And most of us were just astounded at how poorly the Saints looked in this entire game. And yet, we've brought up the anomaly that Drew Brees really hasn't had a bad season at all. His numbers are not bad. He is still currently ranked third in the league in yardage with almost a 70% completion percentage and a 98.8 QB rating. I just, the team just constantly has me scratching my head. I just don't get it.
Yeah, I don't either. There's something not right in that team right now, and they need to get it, you know, fixed. And I think they need the off season to do it. I don't think it's something that's going to happen in the immediate future. And I'm not. Don't get me wrong. Don't think I'm proclaiming Atlanta to be a good team all of a sudden, because I think they still suck too. I just think they're going to end up sucking the less of these three teams. I mean, up until today with Cam Newton's unfortunate incident, you know, they might have had a little bit of a better edge going into it because they had that tie pending. You know, and they still have to play some of these teams, but you know, depending on Cam Newton's availability, you know, maybe Matt Morgan with the, as a backup, maybe they'll end up being the one that wins and gets the, you know, the NFC South. So, you know, I don't know, but I'll tell you, whoever comes out of this division's one and done. They're not even going to win their home game. So
I agree.
It's kind of just pointless for the at this point.
Well, it's exercise and just some fun conversation, I guess. But
yeah.
Talking about fun conversation, in this blog-heavy sports information technology world that we live in today, one of the pieces that I happen to be coming across is I was Googling a whole load of things out there. I'm not even going to say that I necessarily stopped and read the piece, but was one that I saw where the topic was questioning the security that Sean Payton might have. Question for you, does Sean Payton get himself a Tom Coughlin bye here for this season?
I don't know if he should get a bye, but I don't think he's done enough to be fired either. I think this team needs to be tweaked. I think you're going to see Rob Ryan gone. They need to get an infusion of younger players on the defensive side of the ball, and they might need to mix up the chemistry on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, Jimmy Graham's been hurt all season with a shoulder injury, well, since midseason, and he's not been right, especially the last 2 weeks. He's been, you know, on the field, but when he does throw the ball to him, he can't catch. He can't get his arms up or whatever the problem may be. I don't know, but, you know, he needs to get healthy. You know, they've had issues. Mark Ingram's kind of come out on top as the primary back, so they might have answered some of their running back issues, but they still have, you know, Marquise Colston's not the same receiver he was a couple years ago. You know, they do have, you know, a couple good, you know, Kenny Stills and Brandon Cooks, and one of them, I believe, Cooks is on the injured reserve. So, you know, they have some young talent on the offense, at least, you know, waiting. I mean, they may not be, you know, ready to go right now, but they definitely need to fix a few things on this team. And I don't think Sean Payton's not too far removed from being a Super Bowl winner. I don't think anybody's ready to hang him out yet.
I might agree.
Fired him, he'd be rehired in, you know, a matter of days if he wanted to. He'd have his choice in the open jobs. It'd kind of be like Harbaugh. I mean, the Harbaugh situation in San Francisco still needs to get resolved, you know, and I don't think he's going to be unemployed long. That's just my guess.
Before we move on to the next game, though, with this win by the Carolina Panthers, one of the things we have not really brought up here real quick is the fact that suddenly it made them relevant again in that NFC South, as they're now only a half game out of first place, which, as I just pointed out, is a tie between the Atlanta Falcons and the New Orleans Saints.
Mm-hmm.
Except we find out today that as a result of an auto accident that Cam Newton was involved in just today, he now has two fractured, very similar type of injury as to what Tony Romo suffered with, a fractured back. I guess there's some concern, or at least I'm certain there's some conversation about whether Cam Newton's going to miss some time. Was Carolina ever really relevant here?
I think they are, and I think they still are. They play the Buccaneers this week. I think that's a winnable game, even with Matt Morgan playing. Everything I've read on the Cam Newton deal, it's the exact same injury Tony Romo's had. Tony Romo only missed a game. There was another college quarterback this year that also had the same injury, and he only missed a game. So, you know, it's kind of a pattern. It needs a week, I guess, for the swallowing to calm down. But it can't – it's not like – as long as they wear protection, I don't think it's something that can be made any worse. It's called transverse process fractures. Basically what it is, it's little wing bones that come off your vertebrae. It's kind of like chipping a bone. Like if you ever, I'm just speaking from experience, I chipped a bone in my elbow at one point, went to the doctor and they said, there's nothing you can do. It'll heal eventually. You know, there's nothing they can do to fix it. Basically, it was such a small piece. That's what this is. It's a very small, you know, bone chip kind of thing. The quarterback from Baylor, Bryce Petty, was the other quarterback who had the same issue this year, and he only missed one game. So I think you can pretty much say Cam Newton ain't playing this week. And because it's happened, you know, midweek, maybe he might have to miss 2 weeks because it's not like it happened Sunday. It happened, you know, Tuesday. So I don't know, you know, how it's going to affect the timeline. But I think you're going to see, you know, Morgan play this week. And they could win. If they win the game, you know, it's a whole new ball game, really. I mean, because next week the Saints and Falcons play each other, so one of them's going to lose for sure. And the way the season wraps up, I believe Carolina wraps up with either the Saints or the Falcons. It's the Falcons, so they're, you know, they have a shot. They're not out. That's for sure.
Right. I was just looking here real quick through the schedule for this week. I wanted to see where New Orleans was and also Atlanta.
They don't play each other this week. They're outside of the division. The Saints play the Bears on Monday night, and the Falcons, I believe, are. I think they're a Sunday 1 o'clock game. Yeah, Pittsburgh's going to the Falcons, so they're not. You know, the Steelers could certainly upset the Falcons.
Okay.
I would imagine. As a matter of fact, I would imagine Pittsburgh's probably got a couple points or two on the road as a road favorite, I would imagine. I'm not a big line guy. I know you're the degenerate gambler of the crew.
Yeah. I'm getting a reputation. Pittsburgh's a 2.5-point favorite.
That's about what I figured, a point
on the road. On the road at Atlanta. So that obviously is a strong Pittsburgh line. Yeah, obviously.
Yeah.
All right, let's go take a look because we started out talking a little bit about the AFC North and how things are stacked up in there. And there was a game that got all of our interest, I think, right from 1 o'clock on, and that was the Baltimore Ravens and the Miami Dolphins. Ravens, actually, you know, I want to say they had no trouble here, you know, absolutely no trouble with this one. But I don't know if I can necessarily say that. I think they had no trouble as the game went on, as they won the game 28-13. But early on, it was Miami who actually looked the stronger of the two teams, holding a 10-0 score going into the second quarter. Halftime, the score was 10-7 Miami. And it was after halftime, really, then that Baltimore came out and actually started putting up some numbers. Flacco was 25 of 33 for 269 yards, two touchdowns, one interception, and a 106.8 QB rating. I guess more than the Baltimore win here, Brandon, I guess my question I throw to you starting with would be that of Miami. This pretty much puts a fork in them, wouldn't it?
I would think so. Doesn't this week, Will, they got to go to New England and play New England in New England? And as a typical rule, you know, as a division rival, they generally split home and home. And it worked out this way. The first game of the season, the Patriots went to Miami and lost. So by all accounts, this should be another, you know, loss for them. And I think that would pretty much, you know, spell the end of them because the AFC North is just, you know, most of them are a game ahead already. You still have the Bengals in there with that half game for the tie. So I think you can pretty much say that Miami will be done and Buffalo probably will be done because that loss to Denver, you know, is going to loom large at this point. So, you know, I think you can pretty much say Miami is done. Granted, there's still, you know, 3 weeks of football left. A lot could change. I mean, if Pittsburgh and Baltimore go on a massive losing streak, you know, they're not mathematically out, but I think by all intents and purposes, you could say they are.
Okay. Now, asking you to do something difficult here, and that is to alleviate your bias strongly against the Miami Dolphins.
I can do that.
Okay. Thank you. you must admit there have been, I would say, in the past two seasons, been a slightly better-looking Miami Dolphins team. Ryan Tannehill, however, if I'm not mistaken, will be coming up into his – will this be his fifth season, I believe?
No, I think it's still going into his four, and then they'll have an option after next season. I think they still have him under – I think this is his third full season that he's in right now.
Yeah, I guess my question to that is Tannehill a quarterback – that a team can build with?
Well, okay. Is he Tom Brady or Peyton Manning or Aaron Rodgers?
No, right.
No. Is he Kyle Lurton?
Is he Matt Ryan?
I don't know if he's Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan's put up some pretty good numbers. But I think he could be a Kyle Orton, Alex Smith type, where with the right team around him, he could win. I don't think he makes stupid decisions. The problem he with him is he's very not mobile. He's not he gets sacked an awful lot. He takes a lot of abuse, which is a credit to him because the guy doesn't miss games. For as beat up as he gets, you watch a Miami Dolphin game, he's either getting sacked six times or he's getting sacked and getting hit and knocked down, a half a dozen more. So he takes a beating throughout the course of the game.
Only two other quarterbacks in the entire league have been sacked more than he, and that's Matt Stafford and Cam Newton. Actually, I'm wrong. Alex Smith, too. But Ryan Tannehill's got 34 sacks at this particular moment.
I bet you he has a lot of knockdowns, too, but I don't think they track that, so it's hard to, find that
week,
as a stat. Yeah, not on a weekly basis, right?
Yeah, in the weekly box score, you'll find that stat, but not that I have in the stats that I'm getting right now, but
no, I don't think
the interesting thing about the Tannehill thing has been that I have all through the course of this particular season, I have read glowing pluses about his performance, and then I have read horrible negatives about his performance. There doesn't seem to be a consensus. It's kind of like the old adage, when he's good, he's very, very good, and when he's bad, he's horrid.
Can I give you a good guy who I can see him as?
Go ahead.
Being a Patriots fan, he reminds me a lot of Drew Bledsoe. That sometimes he's either really on or sometimes he's really off, and that's kind of the way Tannehill is. He's not, like I said, he's not a Tom Brady or a Peyton Manning, but you could do worse. Do I think the Miami Dolphins are ready to call him their quarterback and not look elsewhere? I don't know. I don't think they're quite ready to do that. I think they're going to, they got another season, with his rookie contract and then the option. I don't think they're in a hurry to pick up that option, but I don't think they're ready to cut ties either. I think he's going to be the quarterback next year, and they may do a second or third round project quarterback to maybe have in the wings, kind of like New England did with Garoppolo this past year, or like Tennessee did with Zach Mettenberg. A later round quarterback who's, not going to be a, surefire deal. Maybe they might do something like that. The problem is, and we've seen this before in the NFL, is when you start doing that, that's when you start messing with some of these quarterbacks' heads. They're like, well, now they're looking over their shoulder. You got like you have going on in Cleveland now with the, are we going to have Hoyer? Are we going to have Manziel? Et cetera, et cetera. I don't know if the Dolphins want to invite that yet into Tannehill because, they may think, I'm not sure what they're thinking is. It doesn't look like they're overly enamored with him. Let's say that. He's in the same boat Russell Wilson is this year. Russell Wilson's finishing his third season. He's going to get paid in the offseason. I don't think you're going to see any adjustments to Ryan Tannehill.
Oh, I would agree with you. To Tannehill. No, I don't think there'll be any adjustment to it at all.
No.
I
Russell
agree with
Wilson's
you. I think
going to get a new contract. There's no doubt.
You're
already
not going to see them. Right. I don't think you're going to see Miami move away from him, but no. I don't think you're going to – but they're certainly not going to sit there and embrace him.
No. I don't think they're going to give him, a six-year,
exactly.
$15 million contract like,
right.
like Matt Ryan, like you had said, or Flacco or your Ginger Giant, one of your favorites up there in Cincinnati. I don't think he's going to get that yet. I think he's going to have to play it out. That's just the way I see it. I don't think they're ready to commit to him yet. But I think they are going to commit to him for 2015. I think he's going to be the quarterback, and it's going to be his job to lose.
All right.
That's the way. Because, this season has been promising, as you said. Their defense certainly looks better. I think their defense has improved from year to year.
Absolutely.
It's not a bad defense. I think they're pretty solid on that side of the ball. I still think they got issues. They got that one young receiver who you're real high on, what's his name? Landry.
Jarvis Landry.
He looks like he has some promise, but, they signed big money on that Mike Wallace from Pittsburgh, and he's basically been a bust in my book. He ain't worth what he's getting paid, let's put it that way. He gets some stats and scores some touchdowns, but I don't think he's even – I wouldn't say he's a top five, even a top ten receiver. You could probably name, many ahead of him. So they do need some weapons on the offensive side. Lamar Miller seemingly done a good job and is
yeah.
looks like he's won the primary running back job there, and I don't think he's that old, so I think they they may be okay with him for a couple years yet. I mean, running backs are, we've seen all year, we've seen how that kind of flies. You know, 1 second, they're at the top, the next second you mm-hmm. got C.J. Anderson, taking everybody over in Denver. So
I don't know. Sometimes I get the sense from the Broncos they really don't have a clue what they're doing with the running back position. All right, let me jump in here real quick. 347-826-9964. Folks, that's how you get in with us, please. Give us a holler. We'll put you on the air. Get your thoughts on whatever it is that we might be talking to. We're going to go to a break shortly, but before we get to the break, Brandon, let's go take a look real quick at a game. And we don't have to spend a lot of time on this one as well because, again, this is going to be a game that Jim Williams and I are going to talk about a lot tomorrow night on our Inside the War Nest program, our All Philadelphia Eagles program. And that was the game that was played this past week, this past Sunday night between Sunday afternoon between the Seattle Seahawks and the Philadelphia Eagles. Seahawks won that game 24-14. And without, I don't want to be tipping my hand too much as to what some of my comments might be tomorrow night. But Brandon, I've been shocked because listening to some of the Philadelphia fan base around here for the past 2 days, people have really lambasted the Philadelphia Eagles, saying it was a deplorable game. I don't necessarily, and I didn't necessarily see it that way.
I agree with you. I think the game went exactly as we had talked about and you talked about with Jim on Inside the War Nest. Matter of fact, I think you were darn close within a point of each side of picking the score. I'm not worried about them. I think this is a game that, it was in between the Dallas games. It was a sandwich game. If the Eagles were in a game, a trap type situation. Granted, it's the defending Super Bowl champions, but I don't see any way that you can't look at this as a quote unquote, trap game. And the Eagles played well. They were okay. They lost to a good team. It's kind of like the same way I felt about the Patriots when they played Green Bay and lost. You know what? You go into their house, you play a bad game, you lose. Okay, it'll happen from time to time. Granted, the it was played in Philadelphia, but I still don't think that's, I don't think that's going to be the legacy of the Eagles. I think the Eagles are going to win the East. They're going to beat Dallas this week, and they're going to just go from there.
Yep. Now, I know that the Eagles are a team that you follow, but they're mm-hmm. not necessarily your team. But let me ask you this question. One of the things that Chip Kelly was that the media made a big to-do about in his day-after press conference with Chip Kelly. And let me ask you if this would jump out to you, if this were your team and this was in the box score that you were looking at for your team. One of the things that the media came at Chip Kelly about was the time of possession in this particular game. The Seattle Seahawks had nearly 42 minutes of possession time to the Eagles 18. Would that be a red flag to you?
Well, for most teams, I would say yes, but not for the Eagles and Chip Kelly's offense, not the way he plays. He plays in such a manner that, it's hurry up. So when they have the ball, they're not going to have time of possession. In other words, it's not something you're going to see, as a regular, stat they dominate in. They're going to be – I bet you if you go back and look at all the Eagles games this year, they've probably lost time of possession every week. They don't have a huge, running back or running game. I mean, LeSean McCoy's a good runner, but they don't use him as your standard, feed him. So, and they always have this up-tempo thing going, so they're going to go faster. So no, I wouldn't be alarmed. And I didn't hear Chip Kelly's response. I would guess his response was he wasn't concerned in the slightest because
of course,
yeah, the biggest thing Eagles fans should have a problem with right now is they better hope and pray Nick Foles gets healthy before the end of the season. Cause Mark Sanchez sucks. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
The guy
mm-hmm.
sucks. He's not going to win a game. He's not going to take you anywhere in the playoffs. He might win an early game, but he's not going to, they're not, they hit the division round with Sanchez as the quarterback. They're done. They're not beating Seattle. They're not beating Green Bay with Mark Sanchez.
Well, Brandon, that you are going to want to listen to, you are going to want to make sure that you are listening to tomorrow night Inside the War Nest right here on the Frat House Sports Radio Network at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, because one of the things that I've got in the on the agenda for tomorrow evening is question, Foles or Sanchez going forward? And I've done the statistical breakdown on it, as you well guess I probably would have, and I've got my theories on it.
Well,
so you're
going
to want to be making sure you're tuning in.
I'm not going to knock your statistics since I know you're a stats guy. I just, Sanchez has a history. He's not a winning quarterback. He's never been a winning quarterback. He never will be a winning quarterback. That's just, you know, he doesn't show up when he needs to, and that's just a sad.
When has Nick Foles ever shown he was?
Well, Nick Foles, this is Nick Foles' second full season. I mean, he actually had a pretty good, you know, showing last year. I wouldn't necessarily say Nick Foles is not going to, you know, get you anywhere. I think they're, you know, I think he's still a work in progress. I'll put it this way. I'd rather have Nick Foles than Ryan Tannehill, if you're going to talk about quarterbacks in the same era, same, you know, position, process, whatever you want to call it. I'd rather have Nick Foles than Ryan Tannehill. Wouldn't you?
No.
Wow.
I would take Tannehill over Foles any day.
Wow.
Yep, absolutely. Let me go back to... listen, I've never been a Nick Foles guy. Let me go back, though, real quick, to that time of possession issue with the Philadelphia Eagles. And I hear exactly what you're saying, and you're absolutely right. The coach, in fact, came out and said, hey, what's time of possession have to do with anything? I think you guys are placing way too much emphasis on it. Except, Brandon, when you're talking about an Eagles defense that right now, yeah, they're better than they were last year, but I still don't think they've cracked the top 20 mark yet. It's a suspect Eagles defense. Do you really want your defense out there on the field for 42 minutes against the defending Super Bowl champions? Would it have been more efficient on Chip Kelly's part to try to, work the clock a little bit more, run the ball? In this particular game, if you take a look at it, the ground game for the Eagles total for the entire game was a mere 57 yards.
I agree with you, and I'm not going to dispute you, but Chip Kelly has his own way of doing things, and I don't think that's part of his game plan. He's not going to slow down. He just doesn't want to do that. He wants to put up a lot of points. I think if this Eagles offense was firing like it was in the beginning of the year, putting up, you know, 30, 40-plus points, you know, and they can and possibly will once if Foles comes back healthy. I don't think the deficiencies on defense stick out as much. And I think that's the problem. I think right now, because of the quarterback situation and they're not putting up the points they were earlier this year, I think that's why you're seeing, you know, the time of possession sticking out more. And, you know, not every team's going to be the Seattle Seahawks. I think you're going to see a much, you know, more normal Eagles game this week against the Cowboys. I think the Eagles are going to come fired up, and they're going to come out, and they're going to win the game.
All right.
Just my guess.
And on that note, let's just take 1 minute here, since we're a little bit past the halfway mark. Let's take 1 minute here just to recognize a couple of our friends and a couple of our sponsors that we've had with us here for, these past 3-plus years with us.
Away from your computer? That's no problem. Take CLW83 Podcast with you wherever you go with the TuneIn Radio app. Download the free TuneIn app from the App Store or Google Play. Then search for CLW83 to connect to the latest editions of the NAWC, Touch 'Em All, The BS Big Show, and all of your other favorite CLW83 programs. CLW83, online, on demand, and on the go with the TuneIn app for Apple and Android devices. Download it today.
Do you enjoy a completely different perspective from all other run-of-the-mill sports shows?
What in the wide, wide world of sports?
Then the Frat House Sports Show is the show for you. Join Frat House Mike and Sidekick every Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock Eastern for your weekly dose of the Frat House Sports Show. From NASCAR to hockey and everything in between, the Frat House Sports Show covers it all. Be sure to like their page on Facebook and check out their website, frathousesports.net, right here on HerbFM.com.
All right, and welcome back.
Mike. Hang on one second before we go on. I just want to acknowledge something. Uncle Mark posted in our chat room, and I was a little incorrect. Yeah. Matt Morgan is no longer the backup in Carolina. I had that confused. Derek Anderson is, and he actually did win week one against the team they're playing this week, the Buccaneers, and that might add a little more intrigue to that division. I don't know. I know Matt Morgan's still out there somewhere, but he's not a Panther, so you know, it is Derek Anderson. I stand corrected there. That's, you know, I just want to make sure everybody was on the right page there.
There you go. There you go. Very good. Thank you for the hands up there, Uncle Mark.
You saved me on the quarterback there.
Everybody's listening in right now to the Red Zone Blitz right here on the Frat House Sports Radio Network. Frat House Mike here with you along with Brandon. And of course, we've got our statistician Uncle Mark in the chat room helping us out as well, keeping us on the right path with the right names and the rosters as we know it. Brandon, I'm going to jump ahead. I'm going to leave Monday night's game alone for just 1 minute. Let's jump ahead real quick. And again, this might not be one that we have to spend a heck of a lot of time on because we talked at length last week a little bit about the NFC West and about the San Francisco 49ers. So we don't have to spend a lot of time on it, but I did want to bring this up because, wow. The 49ers go into Oakland, that hellhole of a stadium that they've got there, with the added security and all the extra stuff. And, well, guess what? There certainly were, from what I read there after the fact, quite a few fisticuffs and rumbles and what have you that went on during this game between the 49ers and the Oakland Raiders. Raiders won this game, Brandon, 24-13. This was a major upset. San Fran went in there as an 8-point favorite. Now, aside from the fact that it is absolutely apparent that this 49ers team is not going to make it to the playoffs, not with a 7-6 record, and not with both the Arizona Cardinals and the Seattle Seahawks, both 2 and 3 games in front of them in the West. Forget conversations about the playoffs. It certainly appears that all of the early rumors that have continued all season long are absolutely true. There is something seriously, seriously wrong right at the core of this team.
Oh, I totally agree with you. I don't think that there is, you know, they have like no chance basically to make the playoffs the way this is going down. They have 3 teams ahead of them that have 9-4 records right now that are all playing better and don't have near the dysfunction they do. I got one for the conspiracy theorist in you. You know, one of the places that they keep talking that Harbaugh might end up is, oh yeah, right across the bay in Oakland. Isn't it funny that Oakland just come out and beat them? You know, I mean, I don't know if that'd be, you know, conspiracy worthy that Harbaugh's, you know, priming his new employer, but I don't know. There's something wasn't right about that game. The 49ers should not have struggled that hard against this team. And they're just a mess. So I think the 49ers would just as soon see the end of week 17 and, start planning for the future. I think they've had quite enough of this year and all the distractions with Harbaugh, and you know, it's a shame. It shouldn't have had to go this way. The team, you know, clearly was a good team, is a good team, you know, and Harbaugh was a good coach for them. But there's some kind of dysfunction at a level that they just can't seem to fix. So, you know, I think for everybody involved, the best thing is for them all to just go their own way. You know, 49ers will get a new head coach, and Jim Harbaugh will be employed, be it in the NFL or you know, maybe the NCAA, but he will. I don't see him as having a tough time getting new employment. I think there'll be a laundry list of teams waiting to bring him in.
Unlike the situation out in D.C., where we're not 100% certain, but it's possible that perhaps maybe some of the chemistry blame could be placed at the feet of the quarterback. Perhaps some of the chemistry blame could be placed at the feet of previous coaches or current coaches, as in, say, Shanahan or Gruden. In the case of the San Francisco 49ers, we've not heard really of any player issues inside the locker room. We've only heard about coach problems.
No,
I'm the kind of guy that believes that where there's smoke, there's fire. And it would seem that perhaps maybe the 49ers issues do rest completely at the feet of Harbaugh.
I don't know that it's Harbaugh's fault. I don't think Harbaugh's done anything wrong. You know, I think clearly him and the general manager have an issue. They've had an issue for quite a while. I think there's been a power struggle for control, and I think more or less the GM's won. I think Jim Harbaugh wanted a new contract. He didn't get it. I think he was asking for final say on the roster. They weren't giving it. You know, I think it just created a wedge, and I think the wedge just got deeper. And I don't know if there's an answer to that. You know, the answer is probably going to be in a new coach. I think that's the way it's going to have to go. So
let's have a real quick conversation, if we could, about Colin Kaepernick for a moment. Obviously, this is another one. It's another one of these quarterbacks that I don't – obviously, it appears that there's going to be a regime change here. And obviously, the 49ers are not going to move away from Kaepernick. They're going to stick there. And yet, we've heard a lot of negativity about his performance, Kaepernick's performance this season as well, which I'm going to be perfectly honest with you, comes something as a surprise to me. Because, in my opinion, with the exception of his freshman season in the NFL, I was actually sounding the alarm about Kaepernick in his sophomore season, when many people were saying, oh, there seems to be something wrong with the guy. Oh, he's off to a sophomore slump. I'm saying, uh-uh, that's not a sophomore slump. Guess what? What you saw last year was the anomaly. This guy isn't as good as everybody thinks. I heard a terrific commentary the other day. When you take a look at Kaepernick and Wilson, two quarterbacks who came in the exact same year, had very similar styles of play. The comment was, Wilson runs to make a play. Kaepernick runs to save his life. And when you watch the two of them play independently, boy, oh boy, if that analysis doesn't seem to be right on.
Well, it may be. There may be more structure to Russell Wilson's rushes than, per se, Kaepernick. But do I think Kaepernick's a bad quarterback? No, I don't. I think Kaepernick will end up becoming a decent quarterback. Do I think he'll be on the caliber of Russell Wilson? Probably not. But I think they'll get there. I think it'll get there. I think part of his issue this year has been some of these distractions. And I'm not trying to make excuses for him.
No.
Because I'm not. But I think, you know, unfortunately, I think that's just the way it goes. He's going to have to work with a new regime one way or the other, at least coaching staff, maybe not, you know, from the top down. But I don't think I'm ready to shut the book on Kaepernick. Kaepernick has made some good plays, especially in the playoffs the last several seasons. So, you know, I think this year might just be an anomaly. Let me say that.
And obviously I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt as well. On top of which, I don't think that's not even a conversation, because, as I said, if you're going to get a new regime in there, they're going to leave Kaepernick alone to allow the new regime to see what they can do with him. So that's going to be the bottom line. They're not going to make any moves.
He's already signed a new contract.
Okay. Was there an extension already?
He got one in the offseason, so he ain't, you know. His isn't a lot of guaranteed money, but they did give him, you know, some upfront money, and he's. I don't think they have an easy out, at least next season. They might the year after, you know, in year three, but. Yeah, he got the deal the off season, so I don't think he's going anywhere. See, he's a year ahead of Russell Wilson. You know, he's in his fourth year, where Russell Wilson's in his third. So I think Kaepernick, because, you know, he played behind Alex Smith that one year.
They came in the exact same year. You mean to tell me that Russell Wilson was a Super Bowl quarterback in his second year?
Yes, he was.
Wow. Okay.
Yes. He absolutely.
I thought they both came in the same year.
No. It wouldn't have been possible for Kaepernick to get a contract if he didn't complete his third full year. So, you know, NFL.com says it's his fourth season. So, I'm going with that.
Okay.
He may not have been a starter for all that time. I think he sat a year, you know, behind Alex Smith. Yeah, he's definitely in, yeah, because Russell Wilson's in his third season. So, yeah, he's definitely they're not in the same year. They started at the same time. I think they became starters in the same season, which was, you know, Russell Wilson's rookie season. I think Kaepernick had a year behind Alex Smith, which...
Yeah, Wilson was a 2012 draft. That's right.
Right.
He was 2012, so that's only third season. Okay, very good. Gotcha. All right. Well, talking about quarterbacks, what do you say we go take a look at? I don't know. Some are saying right now Aaron Rodgers might just be, and I think you even might have just said during this program, might just be the best quarterback right now in the NFL. Last night, what an incredible performance early on Monday night against this Atlanta Falcons team. The Packers won this one at home 43-37. Yeah, it only turned out to be a 6-point difference on that one in a game where Green Bay actually went in there as a 12-point favorite. But you can't take anything away from what Aaron Rodgers did in this entire game. Halftime, the Green Bay Packers were leading this one 31-7, and it was thereafter then that Matt Ryan came into play and things started moving in Atlanta's favor just a bit. And, well, basically what it came down to was they just basically ran out of clock. Julio Jones was just incredible last night. 259 yards in the air, 11 receptions. And I brought it up because I know you didn't want to, Brendan, so you don't have to say another word about it. Let's go to Aaron Rodgers, though, for a moment. 24 of 36, 327 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, 123.3 QB rating. Rodgers right now ranked 6th in the league in yardage. And yet, I believe in QB rating right now, he's number 1 at 119.0 overall. That's his average, 119.0 for the entire season. Again, I cannot begin to just marvel at his touchdown to interception ratio, particularly this year. 35 touchdowns to 3 INTs is just ridiculous. They were showing his stats because apparently he and Aaron Rodgers, last night, Aaron Rodgers had played his 100th game. Brett Favre, they were doing comparisons of he and Brett Favre. They have identical records at the 100 game mark, and yet every single one of Aaron Rodgers' numbers, statistics, measurable ones, were all above Aaron Rodgers at the 100. At the 100 game mark, particularly, as we well know, that touchdown-to-interception ratio, of course, Brett Favre, we might all remember, was a turnover machine when it came to interceptions. But this guy, with all the talk of Brett Favre, this guy has a chance of being far better than Brett Favre, and it starts to, you start to get that kind of Joe Montana, Steve Young thing going. You know what I mean? Which one was really, really better? Steve Young, if I'm not mistaken, actually has better stats. But the one that everybody seems to remember and romanticizes about, myself included, is Joe Montana. So
the four rings might have something to do with it.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
Doesn't hurt. But Aaron Rodgers, right now, I think, did you say it? You said it at the top of the show, right? Might be the best quarterback going right now.
I think he's the best quarterback in football right now. I mean, he's clearly playing the best. Who do you put ahead of him? I mean, Peyton Manning's not. Tom Brady's not playing. I mean, Brady's playing well, but he's not playing that well. So, you know, who do you put ahead of him? I think he's one right now. You know, I don't know who else you do.
This, obviously, no defense last night in this Monday night game. We had darn near close to 1,000 yards of offense between these two teams. In fact, it was 967 yards between the two teams. The offensive numbers are just off the chart between these two games. Amazing, really, that Matt Ryan came back to bring the team back the way that they were. I mean, when they were down 31-7. Going into halftime, you would have thought, okay, this Atlanta Falcons team is just going to roll over.
Yeah, I would agree. They did look good. And you got to remember, this happened in Green Bay. So, you know, the fact that they came back so close, I mean, you know, you said it. I mean, Julio Jones is a machine. I mean, he's probably the best receiver in football right now. I mean, him and Calvin Johnson, when they're both healthy, are both pretty much the, you know, I would think the best two receivers out there right now. And I think, I believe it or not, somehow, I don't know how, it just seems like Julio just keeps going, man. I mean, he's had foot problems. He's had, you know, injury. He was on IR last year with foot problems. I mean, but he keeps coming back, and he keeps, you know, putting up numbers that are insane. As a matter of fact, he played last night with Roddy White on the other side, who looked like he was still injured. I mean, he hardly got any balls till, you know, Julio went out with his injury. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. I'm not sure. It makes you wonder why the Falcons aren't doing better than they are. I'll be honest with you. They can put up a game like that against Green Bay, who is clearly the top seeded, you know, NFC team right now. And yet, you know, they still mounted a comeback in Green Bay where nobody wins. So,
Yep.
That's a head scratcher. It don't seem to make sense.
And it certainly felt like, I mean, again, as many times as Julio Jones was flashing across the screen, it certainly felt like he had more than one touchdown. That's for sure. But
259 yards too. So,
and only 11 receptions. I mean, it felt like he had more than 11 receptions. I mean, that's how much we saw him. But wow, what a game that turned out to be. Entertaining if you like offensive games, for sure. Want to touch on a couple others here, Brendan, from the standpoint of, as I like to put it, kind of honorable mentions, and one that you know, well, they all have kind of an impact with regard to potential playoff standings. Pittsburgh Steelers took down the Ginger Giant and the Cincinnati Bengals 42-21. Roethlisberger again, 25 of 39, 350 yards, three touchdowns, no interceptions, and a 118.5 QB rating. You want to change anything? We were talking a little bit about that AFC North last week, and you said no. It will not be Pittsburgh. Sticking to your guns on that one yet? Baltimore?
I think Baltimore is the better team. I think the way the schedule unfolds, Pittsburgh does have a chance to control its own fate by playing Cincinnati twice in the last 3 weeks. I still think Baltimore. I think let's put it this way. I think all three of those teams are making the playoffs. So I think you're going to see each other again in the AFC North. I think that's the long and short of it. I still think Baltimore is the best team, and I don't know if the schedule is going to play out in a way that they you know, they're going to win it. You know, it may play out better for Pittsburgh, but I just don't see Pittsburgh doing much once they get there. You know what I'm saying? That's my view of it.
With three teams out of the North, that means the Chargers are out.
Well, the Chargers are already a game back, and they got to play Denver this week.
They're two games back, actually.
What do you mean they're games back?
They're two games back in the West. I don't know where are you saying they're a game back.
I'm saying they're yeah, okay. I'm talking about in comparison to the North teams, but I guess they're with them. But yeah, I don't see San Diego, unless they can pull an upset against Denver this week. I don't see them pulling a wild card. I thought San Diego had the same record as the Dolphins and Bills at 7-6, but I guess they're at least on par with the AFC North, you know, 8-5, 8-4-1 kind of deal. So, you know, but I still don't see them beating Denver. I you know, Denver's been off, but I don't know. We'll see. I guess they're not out of it when it all comes down to it. I mean, we still have some, like I said, we have some interesting weeks of football ahead, that's for sure.
Agreed. when you take a look, as I pointed out, though, Pittsburgh, boy, Le'Veon Bell, what a season. Antonio Brown, what a season. And Ben Roethlisberger, you just can't say enough.
No, hey, they're going to, you know, I think they're going to make the playoffs too. You know, I think both those teams in Cincinnati is going to be tough to, you know, keep out with their record. You know, Pittsburgh does play Cincinnati again, so we'll have to see how that plays out. You know, if that ends up as being a revenge game and Cincinnati, you know, beats Pittsburgh, they may end up putting Pittsburgh, you know, on the outside looking in.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, you know, nothing settled for sure, let's put it that way. Looking at the remaining schedule of the team, I mean, Baltimore has Jacksonville this week in Baltimore. They go to Houston and they finish with Cleveland. You know, and who knows what kind of Cleveland team that's going to be with Manziel quarterbacking. I mean, I think Baltimore has a pretty clear path if they win out. I don't know that, you know, Pittsburgh, you know, they got to go to Atlanta, who just put up a good struggle against the Packers, and they have to play. Pittsburgh has to play Cincinnati one more time. So, you know,
right.
Of those teams, you know, Pittsburgh could be in the one that ends up outside looking in. It all depends how it plays out. They also got Kansas City in between Atlanta and Cincinnati. So Pittsburgh definitely has the toughest remaining schedule.
Wouldn't bother me in the least if it were Bengals somehow or another, but that's okay. All right,
that
folks.
That could happen, too.
Yeah, I know. Folks, we're giving you a little bit of overtime chat here for just a couple of moments. So if anybody wants to jump in with us, please feel free to do so. 347-826-9964. That's how you can get in with us via your cell phone, or you can Skype into us if you're listening to us via computer and you're Skype capable, or jump into the chat room. But 347-826-9964. Real quick, Brandon, 24-0, the St. Louis Rams over the Washington Redskins. Could things get any worse down in D.C. at this point right now? We've talked about it. Rumor. I mean, we talked about the possibility that Griffin might not be there next year. Now, apparently, it's tables have completely turned. Griffin will probably still be there. It looks like it's going to be Gruden one and done.
I think it's going to be a total cleaning house down in Washington. I think Bruce Allen's not done anything to distinguish himself as a GM. I believe you had pointed out to me before he was brought in as a cap manager for Shanahan. I don't think he should be a GM if he's not, doesn't have the football pedigree. I think Snyder just says, you know what, I'm done with all this. We're starting from scratch.
Yeah.
I don't think he's liked the way any of the quarterbacks have responded to Gruden, who's was coming in as a quarterback guru. And, you know, Griffin, as you just pointed out, who knows what's going on in that head. And Kirk Cousins, who many thought could be a starter in the NFL, you know, can't even see the field. And Colt McCoy, you know, didn't do anything either. So I don't think Dan Snyder has anything to be happy about Jay Gruden's first year as a head coach. So I think he cleans house. That's just my opinion. Cleaned house. He won and done Marty Schottenheimer, who was 8-8 just out of the playoffs. He got a one and done deal as a head coach in Washington. 8-8, one and done and gone. Do you really think Snyder's going to put up with, well, the 3-10 right now? How bad is it going to end up for them? I mean, you know, maybe they win one more, 4-12. I don't think Gruden has a prayer at this point. At least everything we hear, it goes back and forth both ways. You know, he may just be ready to turn the page on the whole franchise. I mean, he may draft a new quarterback. He may do everything. Who knows? I think the GM and coach are gone.
It would seem to me here's where I come down on it. In some respects, I think it's kind of a shame that we're going to chuck a coach after just one season, because I don't know if that's necessarily been a fair way to go about it. At the same time, however, the Redskins have kind of got themselves between a rock and a hard place, because I don't think you can necessarily just chuck it in all the way right now on RG3, considering everything that they invested in it. So, you know, you made the comment on one of our programs here, I forget whether it was Thursday night or whether it was last Tuesday night, where apparently Gruden had given the ultimatum that it's either going to be him or me. Well, listen, I think it's a hell of a lot easier to make it you, right?
Well, yeah, but I think that's the way it's going to be, too. Let me put it this way. Do I think it's going to hurt Jay Gruden? It might short term. I think Jay Gruden could still end up being an NFL head coach. I think he showed promise, especially as an offensive coordinator. I think he'll immediately get a job as an offensive coordinator somewhere in the NFL. And I think, you know, he'll come out of it all right. I think he'll get a pass. I think a lot of people in the league look at the Washington Redskins and their dysfunctional owner, you know, they take that into account when dealing with, you know, coaching. They got to. How can you not? I mean, I think we've seen more Washington Redskin head coaches in the last, I don't know, go 10 years. I mean, you had Shanahan, you had Schottenheimer, there's a couple more in there that shouldn't have never even been fired. And, you know, he seems to rotate the door. So I think Gruden's going to come out of it for the better. I think at this point, though, there's no saving what they have.
Yep. All right, real quick, let's go over and take a look at a game that is going to have some impact, actually, on this week's schedule and this week's personnel. The Indianapolis Colts, well, they just barely got by the Cleveland Browns in Cleveland by just 1 point, 25-24. You know, look, Andrew Luck, 24 of 53, huh? I mean, those aren't great numbers. 294 yards, two touchdowns, two interceptions, a 59.8 QB rating. But, Brandon, it must have been enough. That one-point loss must have been enough for the brass over at the Cleveland Browns to make the determination. This week it's Johnny Football time. I think it's a big mistake.
I agree. I think, you know, they're not mathematically out of it. I don't think Hoyer did anything that egregious that he should have been, you know, demoted. I think the Browns management, I don't even know if it's Petine or not, is thinking is, you know, this AFC North is so tough. We have a long road to make the playoffs. Let's get a look and see what we got, you know, with Manziel. I mean, clearly Hoyer's not staying there. He signed a one-year deal. He's a free agent. He's going to end up somewhere. He has a good enough record as a starter. He'll land on his feet. And I guess the Browns have just decided to turn the page. I don't think it's fair to the team. I don't think it's fair to the fan base.
I mean, it's fair to the fans. Right, exactly.
Well, yeah, you still have a chance to make the playoffs. You go with it till you're out. I mean, it's 7-6. You know, you're not out of it. You know, you got to keep playing. But maybe they feel, maybe they think Manziel's going to win them games. I don't know. We'll see. I don't think Manziel's going to do much. You know, this week he's got to play the Bengals. I think the Bengals win that game.
They're a 7-6 team. They're a 7-6 team that technically is only a game and a half out of the lead with three games remaining.
And
as
you're playing
point out,
the first place team.
Exactly. Why this is absolutely the wrong game to choose this. If anything, you're going to go with experience. If anything, you're going to go with the guy that's gotten you to the 7-6 record. This almost sounds like if I didn't know better, I would think somebody, you know, from the Cincinnati Bengals has paid somebody off over at the Cleveland Browns. Seriously.
I don't know what to tell you. I don't get it. I disagree with it. I think it's the wrong move, but that's what they're doing. So I guess we'll just see how it plays out. I don't know.
And listen, it's a 1 o'clock game, so we're going to have some fun sitting and paying close attention to that one. As I pointed out on our Facebook page, yes, I mentioned Facebook, folks. Get over to our Facebook page, Frat House Sports, Leaf Spaces, little purple icon. Give us a like over there. We have been over on Facebook for 4 years. Get over there and give us a like. As I said on our Facebook page today, this will be fun because we got ourselves a train wreck to watch at 1 o'clock because that's exactly what I'm expecting. Uncle Mark made the comment that he's fully expecting that Johnny Manziel will be running for his life. And Mr. PC, the head coach over there at the Cincinnati Bengals, what's his name, Marvin Lewis? Is that his name?
Yes.
Is that the right name? Mr. PC. Mr. PC over there, he referred to Manziel as a midget.
Yeah. Hey, Uncle Mark just commented in the chat room. He's okay with Johnny Jamboogie starting as long as if Coach Patine sits. As a joke.
Okay, there you go.
I don't think that's going to happen either.
give Coach a Snickers.
Yeah.
Well,
I'll be honest with you. I don't think this decision is coming from Coach. I think this is coming from
I don't either.
Book.
I think it's got to be coming from the top, don't you?
Yes, I do. I think, as a matter of fact, I'm not surprised if Patine hasn't been getting heat for the last few weeks to play Manziel, and he finally just had to give in. He didn't have a choice at this point. And, you know, I think it's a shame. I think if Patine had his druthers, you'd still see Hoyer playing. But that's just, I don't know, that's just an opinion I have. I don't know anything for sure. It just seems like he's putting Johnny in, kicking and screaming. To me, anyway, that's the way it looks.
With due respect to Johnny, he has not been necessarily one making a big, big fuss publicly. I mean,
no.
We don't know
what's been going on.
He's
done all right.
Yeah, we don't know necessarily what might be going on behind closed doors. So I wouldn't necessarily say this is a quarterback controversy that's developing underneath or in the locker room. This sounds like, as you pointed out, Brandon, this sounds like something that is a management decision. Maybe a media-driven management decision as well. I can't imagine. I don't know. It would seem to me the fan base up there, and again,
well,
I would love to hear from some
imagine this
Cleveland
was Philadelphia.
Fans.
Imagine this was Philadelphia, and
we're not,
they
we're
had
not
a chance to make
it.
The playoffs.
We're not
yeah,
going
not
along with
So I
exactly.
don't know that you say it's media-driven, because if it's Cleveland media, you got to think they're screaming that they're not getting, you know, Hoyer, you know, a chance to make the playoffs. That's the way Philadelphia would be anyway. You know, they'd be screaming if they put a rookie in when you still have a chance to make the playoffs.
We're in overtime chat here tonight on the Red Zone Blitz. Cleveland fans, if anybody out there is a Cleveland fan, please give us a call. 347-826-9964. I want to know what the sentiment is of the Cleveland fan base. Are you in favor of this or not? You got just a couple of minutes to jump in with us. Because I want to jump over real quick, Brandon. I have kind of been, and I'm going to be honest with you, I'm not doing it on purpose, but I've kind of bought in a little bit to the concept that once Arizona lost their quarterback, Carson Palmer, I kind of thought, well, okay, this is going to be a Cardinals team that is just going to falter, fall down, and that's going to be the end of them. But Brandon, at home against the Chiefs in a game that actually thought the Chiefs would win, despite the fact Arizona was a slim one-point favorite, and of course that would tell you that, hey, that's a Chiefs line. Nonetheless, they were still favored. The Cardinals won this game on Sunday 17-14 and stay in control, not only of their division, but they have a good amount of control over the NFC.
Yeah, I think they've been doing what they've been doing all year. They play good defense, and they don't make enough mistakes on offense to cost them. And I think, you know, they're gonna win this week. They got to go to St. Louis and play the Rams. I think the Rams have kind of been playing well, but I think Arizona wins that, and I think that pretty much puts them into the playoffs at that point. I believe they do have a chance to clinch a playoff spot just by winning the game straight out. I think the only way they don't clinch, from what I'm reading on PFT, is if the Eagles-Cowboys ends in a tie. So in other words, if Arizona wins the game, they're basically in the playoffs.
Yeah, not likely that the Cowboys-Eagles is going that way.
No. So, you know, I think Arizona's in good shape. They're gonna make the playoffs. I don't know. I was kind of on the fence if they were going to win the division. I kind of think Seattle somehow is going to make up that game, but I don't know. Who knows? Maybe they can persevere and keep the division. I don't think it's going to affect Seattle, though. I think Seattle's going to make some hay in the playoffs. Next week the Cardinals have to play Seattle next week, and it's in Arizona, so that'll basically be the decider for the division. Whoever wins,
not too many games left. Some of these determinations here, there is going to no doubt. I think in both conferences, you're wait and see. Tiebreakers are going to come into play for the wild cards. because you're saying that you think that Seattle still could kind of come out of that one getting into the playoffs, and yet you've got Detroit in the mix, you've got the Dallas Cowboys and or the Philadelphia Eagles, depending on who might be there.
Yeah, but we already know one of the Dallas Eagles team, one of them's losing this week. We already know that. And I believe Green Bay and Detroit also have a game remaining in their schedule. So, you know, I think a lot of the, you know, some of it's going to work itself out just by the way the schedule plays.
Right.
So, you know, you're not going to have, I don't think the NFC is going to be that tough when it comes down to it to determine, unless some of these teams lose more than you expect. And,
right.
You understand what I'm saying? I think you're going to have, you know, the 11-5 will be the number-ish for the wild, you know, in the wild card area, maybe, you know, a 10-6. But I don't think you're going to have to worry past that. I mean, because if, you know, you don't have many teams. I mean, San Francisco's already at 6 losses, you know, and short of the 3 teams we just mentioned, that's it. So it's going to be those, you know, it's going to be among those 3. It's probably going to be, you probably can look at the NFC and, you know, pretty much figure who's going to be in. It's going to be, you know, the Eagles, the Packers, maybe the Falcons or Saints, who knows in that division. And either the Cardinals or Seattle wins that. And then it's going to come down to, you know, Seattle, Detroit, and Dallas. And you already know Dallas is, well, I don't know who you're going to pick.
You got
tomorrow
one,
game,
yeah. You but, got one big, big, big game in there.
Right. Well,
believe it or not,
Detroit finishes.
So you got
the
one big,
Green
you
Bay.
Got, you got one big, big game in there, and that's next weekend. Not this weekend. Next weekend, the Dallas Cowboys and the Indianapolis Colts. Believe it or not, could have a lot of impact.
Yeah, it could. It very well could. It depends. You know, it depends what Dallas does this week.
Exactly right. But the bottom line is, Philadelphia could actually lose this week. Dallas takes over, but then Dallas loses next week while the Eagles beat the Washington Redskins, and we're right back to where we are right now.
Yep. Yep, that could be.
Yep.
I like a lot of these head-to-head matchups at the end, though. It's going to really, you know, set some of this up. You know, for playoffs. I think teams are going to win their way in, not back in this year. I think that's the way you're going to see it.
Oh, I agree with you. I don't think you're going to see many. You're not going to see many back-ins, but I think what you will see is you're going to see a lot of tiebreaker issues.
Maybe.
That's what I think you're going to see. On both sides, I think in both conferences you're going to see tiebreakers.
I think you're
going to
see that more on the AFC side than the NFC. I think you really only have 3 teams fighting for 2 playoff spots when it comes right down to it in the NFC if you take out the division winners. Where the AFC, you still have, you know, the Chargers and Pittsburgh and the Ravens, let's just say Cincinnati wins the North, you still have, you know, 3 other teams, you know, and you could maybe even go down to the Chiefs and Dolphins, Bills, depending how that all plays out too. So I think there's a lot more potential for tiebreaker in the AFC side than the NFC side.
All right, there you go, folks. That's our program for this evening, and this is what you get with us as we get into the final remaining weeks of the NFL regular season. What do you get? Well, you get an hour plus. You get a little bit of overtime. And that's what we just gave to you here on the Red Zone Blitz, right here on the Frat House Sports Radio Network. Couple of things I'm going to ask you to do. Number one, we've got another football program coming to you tomorrow night. If you're an NFC East person, if you're a Philadelphia Eagles fan, you want to be tuning in at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Jim Williams hosting. I come in and give him my hand. And we're going to be breaking down that Seattle Seahawks game from this past Sunday. And we're going to be looking ahead to that big, big matchup again, second time in 3 weeks, between the Philadelphia Eagles and the Dallas Cowboys. Both teams right now tied at the top of the NFC East with a 9-4 record. That's coming to you tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. We don't take a day off. We're coming right back at you on Thursday evening with our flagship program, the Frat House Sports Show. That'll be our 170th coming to you at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And then we've got the whole Frat House Sports gang with us all together. Myself, Uncle Mark, Brandon right here. Who knows? Never know when we might get a little a special visit from Sidekick, who's out there in St. Louis right now. And we had the whole gang together for 2 hours. 2 hours on Thursday evening talking all things sports. So there are two programs you want to make sure you have highlighted on your calendar. Also, please do me a favor. Make sure you're hitting follow right here on the Blog Talk Radio channel, on our Frat House Sports channel here on Blog Talk Radio, and get over to our Facebook page, Frat House Sports. Leave spaces between, and as I pointed out before, look for our little purple icon and hit us up with a like on Facebook. Plus, follow us right here at Blog Talk Radio. All right, Brandon, thank you very much again, as usual. We will be coming back here again next Tuesday evening, breaking everything down from week 14 as the clock ticks. Tick, 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 or actually that'll be week 15 because we just finished week 14. Week 15,
yep,
as the clock ticks.
15.
Right, as the clock ticks down closer and closer and closer to the end of the season. In the meantime, please make sure you're tuning in with us here tomorrow night again, 7 p.m., for Inside the War Nest. Thanks, everybody. Catch you then.